Well, now a look at one middle-class family in present-day Pakistan. In a new book, Haroon Ullah writes about the real-life family of three sons, one an opium addict, a second pursuing a law degree, and a third training to become a terrorist with a Taliban-affiliated operation in Lahore. His book is The Bargain from the Bazaar, A Family's Day of Reckoning in Lahore, and it's an attempt to put human faces on a culture that many Americans know little about. Haroon Ullah is a Pakistani-American scholar, a diplomat, and a field researcher. He was a senior fellow at Harvard's John F. Kennedy School of Government. He joins us now from his office in Washington, D.C. And Haroon, good morning. Thanks for taking some time with us.
Steve, absolutely honored to be on the show. Big fan of your show for a long time. Thank you so much.
Oh, I appreciate that very much. How did you come across the Reza family? How did you find these folks?
Yes, even though it's, I met them in 2004 and, I've traveled a lot in Pakistan, spent over 8 years living there and doing research. And, it was just, I was drawn to them and their story. I met the parents, and the Awais, the father in this family, walked over 1,000 miles in 1971. Hmm. I was driven to sort of understand what is it that, why would someone do that? What is it that someone would drive them to cope with all the things they see around them? And they were just absolutely fascinating to me.
How representative of a middle-class family in Pakistan today are they ultimately?
I think they're very representative. I think that, I met countless numbers of families. And part of my, inspiration to sort of, I grew up in small-town America. And, I wanted to understand, as people used to ask me growing up, what is going on TV? How do we explain this violence? How do we explain this chaos? Why are they burning American flags? And so I wanted to sort of go there beyond the headlines and meet everyday families and understand how do they cope with all of it around them? How do they find a way to go on day to day?
Well, let's talk about this family, the Reza family again, because these three sons, you can hardly imagine, a more disparate set of kids than these three boys. Tell us about them.
Yeah, and that was fascinating to me. I learned so much from them, that within one family that you have sons, kids, taking such divergent paths. And as you noted, one son gets involved with gangs and into drugs. One son becomes a lawyer, and the other, gets pulled into extremists, working with extremists and becoming a terrorist. And so the family was fascinating to me because I was, they had the same parents. And oftentimes the parents would lament to me late at night, did we fail as parents?
Yeah.
Were we successful? Could we have done things differently? And I think the family in a lot of ways represented these different strands of Pakistan that are competing and at a crossroads.
Why did the one son pursue terrorism? What was it, at least from your standpoint, Haroon, that got him there?
Yeah, that's a great question, Steve. And much of my research, my first book, actually, Vying for Allah's Vote, my doctoral work was focused on this, trying to understand why do young people get recruited into these terrorist groups? What is it about these terrorist groups that they find appealing? And, for him, it was an ideological grievance. He felt that this was the solution to the country's problems. And oftentimes, we hear people describe Pakistan as the most dangerous place on earth. Well, the reason is because a lot of young people buy into it that the only way to change their country is through these extremist groups because they have an answer for all the corruption and chaos around them.
Hmm. And the one son who became a lawyer because why?
He became a lawyer because, he's inspired by his parents. He wanted to see a better Pakistan. He wanted to see a brighter future.
So same goals, just different ways to get there.
Absolutely. And it's within one family. That to me was such, something that just stays in my mind, that really drew me is because one family is within the family. They're dealing with things that could have torn them apart. And yet they've, I think ultimately this is a story of triumph and resilience because they're able to hold together. As a blue-collar family, they're able to hold together with all these things. And the mother, we got a very strong woman, Shez, who's the mother in this family. She works day and night, literally, in a hospital. And, just breaking sort of cultural norms. And yet they're able to pull together through a lot of the tragedy.
And they pull together, they stay together because, help me with that, because this would ruin almost any number of families I can imagine, and at least the people I hang with.
Absolutely. I mean, that was that kind of resilience. I would have thought that, you know, the family would have been torn asunder. That there's no way that they could, you know, hold together. And yet the family is able to dig down deep because the parents want a better future for their kids. It's as simply as that. They want a better future. They continue to sacrifice. And these kids, you know, it's all hands on deck. You know, I grew up, again, in small-town America. I had to work as a, you know, newspaper boy. My sister mowed lawns. Same here. Blue-collar family, all hands on deck. And everybody's got to contribute. They just don't have a lot of money saved up.
You know, I want to be careful and not give away too much. I don't know how comfortable you are saying a whole lot about what happens to the boys as their lives progress. But at one point, you know, the world, the government, everyone is coming down on Dad like a ton of bricks because of the actions of one of his sons. How did he weather that storm and describe to us exactly what he went through?
Yeah, that's a great point, Steve. I mean, I remember that day when Oase was, you know, got thrown in jail. And,
yes.
You know, he was...
We're talking about the dad now, yeah.
This is the dad, yeah. He was thrown in jail because, you know, one of his sons got caught up in the extremist groups and was being... The police were searching for him. And the dad is really caught. He's struggling. He knows his son is doing something very wrong, and he highly disapproves of it. You know, everything he taught him was to do something very different, and yet his son is going against that. At the same time, he also loves him. It's his son. And so he's caught in between this sort of paradox that I think a lot of parents find themselves in, where what do you do when a loved one has gone off in such a wrong direction? And what can you do to change that? Can you change and intervene to somehow stop them from doing this dastardly act?
And his choice ultimately is what?
For the father, I think the choice is, do I stay loyal to my family? Do I do what's right for my community? Do I try to intervene with my son in my own way? Or do I give in to authorities that he doesn't trust? And I think that's the ultimate choice that he makes.
And he decides what then?
The father decides to try to go it himself. He said, this is my son. I'm going to try to intervene, to steer him in a different direction. I'm going to try to raise the family that I know best with my wife. And so, you know, there's a lot of distrust of the government in Pakistan. They just feel that it's corrupt. You can't trust the authorities. And they've seen too many bad things happen for a young country. And so Oase wants to go it alone. That's the same reason over 40 years ago he walks 1,000 miles across India as a POW. I mean, there's this sort of self-made people, blue-collar, you know, in a new nation, and that's what they hold to.
And again, when you describe them the way you are, I'm thinking they're not so different than folks over here, which is one of the points that you had to write this book to begin with, right?
Absolutely, Steve. I mean, that's, you know, struck me and stayed with me. I grew up in, as I said, small town America, very rural part of eastern Washington state. And, you know, I've spent a lot of time in Kansas. You know, my wife's from Kansas. I'm a big Kansas person. And, you know, we both grew up in small towns. Mm-hmm. And what I was struck me was that they're not so different. I mean, I thought it was worlds apart, you know, this most dangerous place on earth. I would see things on TV. But when I went there and I met this family and other countless other families, I realized, wow, we have a lot more similarities than I would have ever imagined. You know, and I was learned a lot from this family because it taught me a lot about sort of, you know, in a lot of ways, how do they get this work ethic? How do they continue day to day? How among all this chaos are they able to pull together? And it taught me a lot about my own identity and, you know, as a proud American, how to best serve my country.
Haroon Ullah is our guest. He's the author of the new book, The Bargain from the Bazaar, A Family's Day of Reckoning in Lahore. It's a story about a middle-class family trying to make it through very difficult circumstances in Pakistan, maybe not so different from circumstances over here. Mahmood from Overland Park wants to join our conversation to talk just about this point. Mahmood, nice to have you. Good morning.
Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate for taking my call, and what a relevant subject in contemporary politics. I think what is happening in Pakistan is no different than what's happening in the United States. Unfortunately, that's a reflection of between two streams, between one political left and the other being a political right.
Mm-hmm.
I go to Pakistan almost every year, and I see it in my own eyes, and this family is basically, with the book that Mr. Haroon wrote, basically, reality is right in front of our eyes. There are two streams are fighting against each other to take a control over what's happening in the United States politics. At the same time, what is happening, what happened in Wichita, Kansas, about that doctor that was basically killed.
Dr. Tiller.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dr. Tiller. And same thing. The one side of the country is going toward the drugs, and the other side of the country is going to the extreme right to somehow see that, you know, where the direction is, and the rest of the middle class families are caught in the middle of that.
Hmm. You know, I'm wondering, Haroon, is Mahmoud's analogy here, does that make sense to you?
Yeah, Mahmoud's spot on, and thank you so much for the call and the words. I mean, that's what struck me, was that there's these two polar opposites, these two strands that are going on in the country, and there's a lot of people in the middle, and there's a lot of young people. I mean, oftentimes I forget how young Pakistan is. You know, over 100 million youth in the country. You know, this is going to be the fourth most populous country in 15 years. And, and so these young people are sort of at the crossroads. They could choose one path, or they could choose a very different path. And then in this family, you see those different brothers choosing different paths with the same parents. And so I think in a lot of ways it's a microcosm for one of the most important relationships we have in the world. And what happens in Pakistan affects us in the U.S., whether we admit it or not. And that, to me, was another lesson that I learned, was we're so interconnected. Whether we like it or not, we're interconnected. We're in this together. And that's why it's so important to build those bridges.
I want to go back to the father for a second, Awais. And, you know, he has a hope each night before he goes to bed. And what is that hope, Haroon?
Awais, you know, is a self-made person. And as you note, Steve, he wants to provide for his family. He's a self-made person. He's an entrepreneur. He has his own small business. He's somebody that wants to provide a better future for his children. He's working day and night. Him and his wife together as a partners are trying to give their kids things that they never had, a better education, you know, better opportunities. And times when he goes to bed, he sees a country that's in shambles. He sees a country around him that is dealing with electricity blackouts for 10 hours a day, you know, that's with violence, you know, around his small business that's shutting down his work. And he's just hoping, he's praying, and he's trying to do everything in his power to provide that better future.
We're talking about a family, family's life in Pakistan. You know, Awais is also, he's a shopkeeper in the most extraordinary of places in Lahore. I mean, this is the largest open market in all of South Asia. Describe it to us. I was just fascinated by this.
Yeah, it's fascinating. It's this amazing, you know, of colors and smells. It's open air marketplace. It's almost like two football fields long. And I used to spend a lot of time because, you know, in the bazaar, it's this sort of microcosm of Pakistan. It's the heart of the community. Whether you're rich, you're old, you're poor, you know, everybody has to go through this marketplace. And so you see everybody. And so, you know, he had a stall where he sold jewelry. So I spent a lot of time observing people. And, you know, Steve, I remember this one moment when I realized my worlds were colliding. You know, I grew up listening to country music, you know, and in Washington State. And, you know, and I heard this, you know, Garth Brooks song in the middle of this bazaar one day. You know, Garth Brooks is The Dance, come out of the corner of my ear, and lo and behold, I walk to a stall. There's a guy playing this, you know, on his CD player. He doesn't know the song, doesn't know who the singer is. And I thought, my gosh, I'm in the oldest bazaar in South Asia, 350 years old, and I'm listening to country music, you know, in the middle of this, you know, this metropolis.
Of course,
I mean,
you
my
are.
My world has collided.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No kidding. And there's a legend that sort of surrounds this market. It dates back many, many years. What is it?
Legend, yeah. It's this fascinating legend that, you know, where the prince falls in love. The name of the bazaar is named after this woman named Anarkali. And that, you know, the prince and this woman fall in love, but it's sort of a forbidden match. And so the legend goes that, you know, she is kept, he builds a room for her, and, you know, they're supposed to be kept away from each other, and they never actually end up together. And so this is like sort of this love. It's almost this great Romeo and Juliet story of Pakistan, of two people that loved each other from very different classes, very different backgrounds, but could not be together for a variety of reasons.
Well, Haroon Ullah will present and talk about his book, The Bargain from the Bazaar, A Family's Day of Reckoning in Lahore, at St. Andrew Christian Church on Sunday at 12:15 in the afternoon. The event is co-sponsored by by the church, Rainy Day Books in Fairway, and the International Relations Council of Kansas City. A link to that event, more information, just go to our website, kcur.org. What's your sense of the relationship right now between the U.S. and Pakistan? How would you characterize it? Where is it right now?
Well, I think it's one of our most important relationships in the world, and I think that it's too important to ignore. I think that there's a lot of cooperation on economics, a lot of cooperation on entrepreneurship, a lot of cooperation on energy.
And security, too, yeah.
And security, which is critical for both countries. You know, Pakistan's lost over 50,000 civilians in the war on terror. We've experienced tragedies here in the United States and continue to, put our forces in Afghanistan. So I think it's so important. These are areas of win-win and things that are so important, too important to ignore. I'm cautiously optimistic about the future. I think it's moving in the right direction. There continue to be hurdles, this year and I'm sure going forward. But as I think about it, I only think back a little, a lot of people are pessimistic about Pakistan. Mm-hmm. And I remind them, I say, look, just look back a little bit further in history. And I remember the day when Jackie Kennedy was going down the streets of Lahore in open car motorcade. Mm-hmm. I remember when Eisenhower was going to a cricket match in Pakistan, when President Nixon was on the back of a truck in Pakistan, when President Johnson went to Pakistan, met a rickshaw driver on the street, invited him to the White House later, and he attended as a VIP guest. And I think the future of U.S.-Pakistan, I think it only can be looking upwards because it's too important to ignore. And the young people of Pakistan and the young people of the U.S. have so much in common.
You say all that, and there's still this question that so many Americans have about how much the U.S. can trust this country, given the harboring or whatever it was of bin Laden and other terrorists. I mean, what about all that?
Yeah, no, that's a huge question, and there's a lot of important, legitimate concerns about, how we can continue to keep the United States safe, how we can get peace in the region. So I was there during much of that, living in Pakistan, seeing the reaction both there and here. I mean, for me, I meet young Pakistanis that want the same thing. They want a better future for Pakistan. They want better relations. They'd love to come to the United States. We have the largest exchange program in the world with Pakistan. They want better relations, peace with India. And so to me, that's where I see the hope of the future is in the young people, this young nation, that are turning away. I forget even that it's the young people that are on the front lines fighting against these terrorists. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, it's going to be young Pakistanis that stand up to those terrorists in Pakistan and extremists and tell them and amplify their narratives and provide a different pathway for young people.
Yeah. I've got to ask you, before we run out of time here, you worked with former Ambassador Richard Holbrooke for a while. He was so widely respected in the diplomatic ranks. What did he teach you about diplomacy, and what kind of experience was that for you?
Yeah, Ambassador Richard Holbrooke was a great role model and somebody that I sorely miss. I mean, an incredible mentor. And, what I learned from him was perseverance. He never let up. He never took no
yes.
for an answer.
Yes.
He never took, he took on the impossible problems, just like Secretary Kerry's doing now. And he said, we are going to find a way by any means necessary to make this work, to build bridges. And he worked tirelessly. I was half his age, and he would not sleep. He was day and night on the phone, engaging with people. And, what I learned was just that perseverance. He was passionate. He believed in the great America, in the great American destiny, and he was there as a public servant to fulfill that. And that, to me, is a role model for myself.
Yeah. Again, Haroon will be speaking on Sunday. His new book, The Bargain from the Bazaar, A Family's Day of Reckoning in Lahore. He'll be speaking at St. Andrew Christian Church, 12:15 Sunday afternoon. The event co-sponsored by the church, Rainy Day Books, and the International Relations Council. More information about that, just go to kcur.org. And Haroon, what a pleasure to have you. What a great conversation. I sure appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you so much, Steve. It's quite an honor to be a big fan. I've listened to your program for years. So thank you so much for having me.
Appreciate that so much, Haroon. All the best.